the elephant in the room sometimes is obviously the paddles. Now we have kind of a professional player standard, and we have an amateur standard. That becomes problematic. You know, are you qualified here? Are you qualified there? So the people that are playing in professional tournaments, but on the amateur side, they still have to come into those qualifications. And they just go play in an amateur tournament, now it's a different paddle. A standardization of the paddles is just huge. I get more discussions over paddles at our clubs and places I go, you know, and we're going through that with the NPL right now, of determining if we're going to have standards set up every event to check paddles and who does that and how do we do it. I mean, it's just going on everywhere, and I think a standardization would solve a lot of those problems.
Welcome to the Future of Pickleball. This is the show where we get a chance to talk to the people that are making a difference in the sport. I want to tell you first, please hit the subscribe button, hit the notifications, and I want to reach out specifically to Selkirk TV and thank them for allowing me to do these kind of shows and interviews. You can download the Selkirk TV app on your phone. It is without question the most comprehensive free app in pickleball. You'll love the volume of content that's there. So now let's jump in. I want to introduce you all to Romy Maxey from Houston, Texas. Romy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul. It's such a pleasure to be on the Paul Olson show, Future of Pickleball.
Well, thank you. You know, we're going to talk about how important the governance of pickleball globally is. And I thought that Romy would be a great guest because he's involved on a local scene. He owns two clubs in the Houston area. He's a part owner in one of the NPL pro senior teams, but he has been involved in pickleball at every level for a long time and has pretty much of a global view. And so with that, Romy, give us a little bit of an idea of exactly what you're up to on a day-to-day basis right now in pickleball.
Day-to-day basis, as you just mentioned, we have two great indoor clubs here in Houston. One's Pickleball Country Club, and the other is Casa Pickle. And so day to day, we have the operational portions of working those two clubs, and they're both doing well. Then we have, of course, the NPL involvement, the National Pickleball League, which I co-own with Amy Bloomrosen, Hugh Zhang, and Hal Martin, are the co-owners of the Houston Hammers, which last year we finished third in the league, and hopefully we'll do as well or better this year. And so we're upcoming draft coming up in April. So all exciting things there. And as well as that, I've trained, and Paul, you're well aware of this, and maybe not everyone, but I've trained over 11,000 players in my period of time. And so that's internationally and nationally, all over the country, as well as Punta Cana and Turks and Caicos and Costa Rica and lots of other locations. But it's kind of been my life for the last 11 years is pickleball.
Very nice. And actually, you mentioned something that I forgot to mention, and that was the fact that you do host trips to those international sites that you see, which in terms of our conversation today, I think is going to be very important because it really kind of showcases not only what you're doing here in America, but also what's being done in other parts of the country. Just talk about some of those trips that you do and how you put them together.
Yes, sir. It's a group thing. It's anywhere from 16 to 24 players, and we go to different destinations, again, all over the internationally, Punta Cana, I mentioned Costa Rica. I've been there 11 times, Turks and Caicos, going to Nicaragua in September. So it's kind of a new destination, and I've got a Jamaica plan. So those are groups of people that are just like pickleball, and then we go and have a great time. We play pickleball in the mornings. and go do other excursions and other things like that in the afternoons and just enjoy our company. And it's funny how all of these different people can come from all over the different parts of the country. And by the evening of the first night, we're all having dinner. We're best friends. You know, we're talking smack about what happened that day. And so it's just it's really a lot of fun to take those trips and be involved with all those people.
Perfect. And that actually is the real setup that I wanted to kind of step into, because you're involved with so many aspects of the sport. When we start talking about global governance, one of the things that I don't think everybody in pickleball understands is the difference between a global governing body and different aspects within the sport, like the PPA or the MLP, NPL, the APP. That global governance is that organization that our sport needs to be recognized as the same as the other big sports in the world by having a global governing body. How do you see the importance of that, given all of the tangents and tentacles that you're involved with in the sport?
Paul, that's everything as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've been kind of floundering for a number of years, as far as I'm concerned, as to who is the governing body. Of course, we understand the governing body in the United States, but that's just one country. We've got the USAP. But as far as the governing body internationally and worldly, we need to have some force that takes over. And for me, the GPF is the answer to taking that global initiative and pulling everyone together, and the 62 countries that I think this now required, if that's not correct, start moving towards the Olympics. Once we get established as an Olympic sport, then I think the future continues to just grow and grow and grow, because now we're recognized as one of the top, you know, organizations.
Yeah, so I, on that order, one of the ways that I describe to people the difference between what they've been seeing, whether it's USA Pickleball or the different pro leagues and things on that, the GPF would be the counterpart to me of what FIFA is for soccer worldwide, or what the ITF is for tennis governance worldwide. In golf, it's the IGF. But in each of these cases, it is that global governing body that becomes recognized by the International Olympic Committee. Is that your understanding?
That is exactly my understanding, and we need that governance. We just, again, we've just had all these integral parts of going in different directions, but yet we haven't had that one global recognized community that says, this is our governing body. And I think it's vital to the future of our sport.
Yeah, in preparation for this interview, I took a look at the GPF's website for the most up-to-date information, and they are now in 63 countries on every continent on Earth except Antarctica. And so that piece of it, there's a very interesting event that's going to come up at the end of 2025. In November of 2025, the GPF will have its first global election for the different board seats on and the continental directors, that every one of them has a seat at the board to make sure that the sport is representing the entire world of pickleball. And I believe, in my mind, we've complied with, in the sport of pickleball, we've complied with all of the other requirements of the IOC. And now it's with that governing body that steps up. We should be ready to start the time clock going in an actual IOC application. And so that's the kind of thing that I think could be really important to me when I look at this effort. I put a lot of focus personally into global governance, because I see it as the thing that will permit us to be seen in the same breath as soccer internationally. Tennis internationally, golf internationally, that's the hurdle. One of the things that's sort of interesting that I have seen is now we're in the United States, we're beginning to surpass other sports in participation that no one ever thought we would pass, because we have this wonderful 8-to-80 demographic that opens things up. As you start thinking about the different business interests that you've got, the day that we're making, let's say the announcement comes out that the GPF has been set up, the voting is done, everybody's up and ready to go and get behind this, Do you think that that will be a major PR moment? Is that going to be something that you're going to be able to be talking about strongly with the different entities you're involved with?
Absolutely. One of the things I kind of do tongue in cheek a little bit, but when you do the extrapolate the numbers that are taking place within the country and internationally as well, as the growth of pickleball, I say this a lot of times because we'll just use Houston as an example of 7 million people in Houston proper. And I say this all the time. There are 10,000 people in 2025 that don't know their pickleball players yet in Houston. So, and there's some truth to that. I mean, there's just, the growth is just astronomical. We've had probably 10 new indoor clubs that have come into Houston in various parts of the city. And the growth just keeps coming and the places get filled up. I mean, it's a good thing to have. But yes, I see it as a major public relations for all of us. I mean, not just in local areas, but for the sport itself, just internationally. To have a governing body, for me, it's everything. We just have been too long with too many tentacles going in different directions.
You know, it is interesting. I've been at a number of the different GPF events that they've hosted where they've brought in scores of countries' leaders from around the world into events that they've done. And it's been really fun to meet people from Asia, to meet people from South America and Central America who are the leaders in their countries of the sport of pickleball. And they all have a very common thing, and that is the fact that they need the guidance as to how to really optimize where the sport can go in their country. Rules, equipment standards, referee standards. And that's the piece that I think is happening. But when it happens and we are formally the Global Pickleball Federation, I think that that'll be a major, major moment in the sport of pickleball. You know, I want to tell you, I know actually Romy and I have played in a couple of tournaments together. When you look at how the tournament scene goes on, are you beginning to see any interest from people outside the U.S. coming in for tournaments or for American players that you know looking to play in tournaments outside of America? Is any of that coming up?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We had, matter of fact, one of our head pro at Casa Pickle, one of our facilities, he just went over to Australia and played and was over there and playing in tournaments. And I believe I just saw where Ben Johns representing his paddle company went over and represented along with Agassi, and they did a big splash over there. But the overseas and the international part is just, I mean, it's kind of a family now. Everybody's kind of coming together. I have an opportunity to go to Vietnam this year for a couple of weeks to do some certification. They have so many players that want to play. They just want to certify some instructors to get out there and help the other people. So they want to get some instructors. So I'm going to go over there and help maybe do some instructional things to help them be certified as instructors. And just so the growth in Vietnam can just continue to grow.
It's interesting that you mentioned that there's getting ready to be a formal announcement. Well, yeah, I'm going to say it anyhow. There's getting ready to be a formal announcement that the GPF is aligning with several of the highly regarded teaching certification programs to begin making those programs available worldwide. And I think that kind of thing could be great. Just a few weeks ago, I had Byron Fresso from the refereeing cadre, and he was talking about that he had been spending time, and Ron Ponder from USA Pickleball has been spending time in foreign countries training and certifying referees. I think all of that is the stuff that really leads to this very cool moment we're going to have when we can raise our banner of we now are a global sport with all of the same characteristics that others are in the industry, are in other parts of the country.
I think, Paul, the elephant in the room sometimes is obviously the paddles, the paddle manufacturing standards. And we've got one now. We have kind of a professional standard, professional player standard, and we have an amateur standard just in the United States. And so that becomes problematic. You know, are you qualified here? Are you qualified there? And so the people that are playing in professional tournaments, but on the amateur side, they still have to come into those qualifications. And they just go play in an amateur tournament. Now it's a different paddle. So different specifications for each. So a standardization of the paddles is just huge. I get more discussions over paddles at our clubs and places I go, you know, is this paddle good? Is it not good? Is it delaminated? All those questions. And we're going through that with the NPL right now, with the National Pickleball League. We're going through that process of determining if we're going to have standards set up every event to check paddles and who does that and how do we do it. I mean, it's just going on everywhere. And I think a standardization by a group, you know, GPF would solve a lot of those problems.
It's interesting that you mentioned paddles specifically, because one of the things that I've thought would be a great asset in the sport when we get a global voice rather than national voices. Part of the hurdle I see that we have in America is because the sport has gotten so big. It started here. It's gotten so big here. The financial interests are pretty insane. And I'm a believer that we need all of the adults in the room worldwide to start saying, if we're going to change rules, if we're going to change how we establish standardization, that should be represented around the world. Have you heard at all about the Pickleball Equipment Manufacturers Association that's being developed to help manufacturers have a voice in the game?
Yes, I'm not knowledgeable enough to speak to it, but I have heard about it.
Well, the thing that I think is so interesting, I was at a media day that USA Pickleball put on a couple of months ago, and it was really there to show all of us in the media how they're doing the testing, what the sophistication is, and it's very high. But at the end of the day, we really need the whole industry to buy into that. And the one big caveat in the room was that we had manufacturers there. They really have no collective voice. They're sitting there going, what do we do? That's where I think the development of PIMA, and I know their expectation is to be recognized internationally. They want international manufacturers, international brands, all to be part of it so that the manufacturers are speaking as one voice internationally. And all of those things, to me, I think are kind of the benchmarks that our sport is really becoming a sophisticated, mature, worldwide sport. You know, on that order, I want to segue into tournaments a little bit. There's two events that have shown up on the radar screen very recently. One is a national team competition that will be held in Cancun in December, and another event that was just announced that will be the Pickleball World Cup in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the end of October. And that is the second year of an event that was first done last year in Peru. And they had 16 countries send teams to Peru to play last year. And they believe they'll have about 32 teams in Fort Lauderdale in the end of October. As you look at the things that you're doing, particularly with NPL and how your Champions Tour, your adult pro leagues are going, how do you see those things? Are they things that you guys can take advantage of or participate in?
Absolutely. I talked to Rick Witzkin, who's one of the founders of the NPL and the Champions League, and we talked about this, and it's on their radar definitely to go international and to create the environment of having an international teams and competing against. And so it may be the World Championship League. In other words, hey, I said it first, okay? Hey, Rick, are you listening? So, but those are things that everybody can grow with the international feeling and the responsibility of everybody coming together. I think is huge for the market and for everybody involved in pickleball. And it's exciting to think about. We won the United States, we won the NPL part, the National Pickleball. Now we're going to go play teams from China or Japan or wherever. That's pretty exciting. So, involvement overall, just internationally. I know the NPL is definitely considering and wants to go in that direction.
Well, I think that's so exciting. The other piece of the global thing that's really happening most predominantly in the U.S. is the growth of collegiate pickleball, and we're seeing really amazing stuff there. I have to believe that that's going to be a natural mirror that's going to show up in other nations of the world as they're watching what's happening with the American collegiate pickleball scene. And so I think all in all, the quicker we can get to a global voice where every country that is involved with the GPF can have a voice to say what they want to do, what's important to them, that's the magic moment, I think, in my mind.
Speaking of the college, Paul, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was on a panel at PickleCon in Kansas City, and I was directing the panel, and there was a bunch of college folks, the Duper College and all of those kinds of things, and there was about, one of the gentlemen mentioned there was about 250 colleges, universities presently that have pickleball clubs. He said by the end of 2025, which we are now in that year, there should be almost 600. That is the growth of the college game in this country. And these are not small clubs. I mean, there are clubs out there that now have 300 to 700 players in their clubs. And I saw where Alabama just designated $2.6 million to do some pickleball things. And you'll see other universities do it following suit.
Well, that's so true. Actually, I live in the Arizona market, and Arizona State, which is in the greater Phoenix Valley where I live, they just announced the fact that their pickleball club at the university passed 800 college students, and it's the largest sports club in the whole university, and it's an enormous university. But likewise, the winner of the singles in the last collegiate national championships was from Drury University, a tiny little university in Missouri, but had a benefactor come in and build a full-on pickleball center at Drury University, and they have a scholarship program. And for Drury doesn't win a lot of national titles, but they won it in pickleball this year. I think that kind of stuff is really, really exciting.
You know, students are getting, you know, they have the opportunity when they do their applications to the university, they're asking questions. And now they're getting a lot of questions. It's my understanding, talking to a friend at A&M, that students are actually asking, do you have a pickleball club? They're starting to choose their college they're going to. Do you have a pickleball club? They want to know that answer. I think that's big for our sport.
Yeah. So then I know there are some beginnings in England at the university level, and I just have to imagine that that's going to begin to represent itself all over the. We have so many international students that come to America to study, but we've also got an awful lot of people that go out of the U.S. to study. I think it'll really be great. Before we wind this thing up, Romy, I want to kind of ask you, in your magic ball of all of the things you're involved with, is there anything in particular that you would like to see happening to help the growth of pickleball that doesn't exist currently?
That's a great question. Well, obviously, what we're discussing today is to have a global group that takes over the governing body of pickleball. I mean, that to me is the elephant in the room. We haven't had that. We've talked around it. Everybody said, hey, we need to have this, but we haven't pulled that together. I think it's quite honestly the key to, you know, to being in the Olympics in 32. We can talk around it and do this, but until we have a governing body, and I think GPF's the answer, that we need to have that international global governing body, and then that's what's going to propel us to the next level.
You know, I think I'm in agreement with you, and I think most of the people that probably will end up seeing this interview will agree. I want to make a suggestion to those of you that are watching this. One of the things that happens and has happened in pickleball so positively has been the grassroots word of mouth. If you know people that travel internationally, or possibly you know international players that are in pickleball, talk to them about how the discussion of global governance is important to get their country connected with GPF. The 63 countries that are part of it, I've been told that they're expecting that they're going to have 75 or 80 countries by the time we get to the end of 2025. I think at this point, we need to all reach out to any avenue that we can, and even reaching out to the different manufacturers that any or all of us are connected with, talking to them about how to support the efforts to grow pickleball globally through a governing body. I think that could be just a massive thing that we all can contribute to the sport. Romy, I want to thank you so much for coming on board today. I sure appreciate it. And we will see you down the road, buddy.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me. Look forward to it.